Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be here with you this morning. We have just had a great time. I've been really enjoying myself this weekend. It's been such a marvelous time, and it's always great to be here. New Zealand is a place that I've been a lot of times. At one point, I was coming about four times in the year to New Zealand, so I know a lot of the places pretty well. It's been a while since I've been here, though, and Pastor Nick and Karen, thank you so much this morning. And your hospitality, your love, and the fellowship of most of the people, apart from the ones that abused me. In leadership. I don't want to tell you who it is, because I wouldn't want to dub back in, but the point is, people can do that to you. Amen. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, when people try to bury you. Yes. I'll kill you, I'll do something to you. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you, because Nick has already told you about my wife and my family, and that's great because you get the preliminaries out of the way. Somebody said to me one day, they pulled me up and they said, "Why don't you wear a wedding ring?" And I don't know why they were disturbed about that. Maybe there's something significant about making that on. But the reason that I don't wear a wedding ring is because I've been traumatized. And not by my wife, no. No. We've been married 38 years. I was traumatized. That had been a long time ago. I don't. I had a bad accident, and it was the results of my ring. And I caught the ring in some metal things, and I nearly lost my arm. And so I had a bad accident with it, and it destroyed the ring, but it also nearly cost me my arm. And I have been traumatized to the point of not wearing one for a while. And that's why I haven't got a ring on, just in case you don't think so. But I am married indeed. And Nick has filled you in with that. This morning I want to talk about living positively in this negative world. And we had the reading this morning, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And you know, this lady, she really loved the Lord. She was an older lady. She loved the Lord. And she used to get around her house every day. She's just praising the Lord. And she'd be walking around the house just praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And next door to her lived an atheist. And the atheist used to get mad when he'd hear her praising the Lord. He'd get so angry. And he'd come over to her and he'd say, "Shut up, you old fool. There is no God." She'd just keep right on praising the Lord. He'd come back in again and have another go at her. This went on for over some time. And he was just so mad and so angry with her. And he'd keep coming over and telling her to shut up. He said, "You're just an old fool." He said, "There is no God." This atheist just didn't like living next door to her at all. But one day, this lady was getting out of food. She had nothing to eat. And so she's walking around the house and she's got her arms in the air and she's praising the Lord. And she says, "Father, thank you for bringing me the groceries. Thank you, Father, that I know that you will provide. Thank you that you have promised never to let us go." And she's just walking around praising the Lord. Well, the atheist heard her. And he thought, "I'll fix the old fool." So he goes down to the supermarket and he bought a great big bag of groceries. And he brought him back and he put him on the front doorstep, rang the bell, raced out and hid in behind the hedge. He said, "I'll watch her." So she came to the door, she opens the door, and when she looks, she goes, "Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is wonderful." And so he hops out from behind the hedge. He said, "I told you that you were a stupid old fool." He says, "God didn't bring the groceries." He said, "I did." He said, "I bought them." He said, "Not God." And she took off past him and goes down the road, hands in the air, praising the Lord. And he's after her. And he says to her, when he caught up, he runs in front of her. He says, "What with you?" He said, "I just told you." He said, "You keep praising the Lord." He says, "And I told you I got the groceries. I bought them." And she says, "Oh, I know what you said. Oh, I know what you said." She said, "I always knew that God would get me the groceries, but I never knew he would send the devil to buy them." Amen. It's, where's my focus this morning? What am I seeing? And I was telling them, because if you in the earlier service, you'll hear the same message this morning because I'm inspired in that, because it's something that's really very important for me personally, my own life, in my own travels and going around the world. It really is important for me. And I was mentioning about the farmer, and this farmer had some wells in his farm, big old wells, and he also had some old donkeys. And one day this donkey was running along the farm, and it fell into one of the wells. And the noise that was coming out of the well was terrible, pitiful noises. So the farmer goes over, looks, and sees the old donkey. And he thinks, oh, well, he said, the old donkey is getting so old now, it's past its use-by date. And so he got some of his neighbors in, and they all started digging dirt and just shoveling it in, because he thought, well, it'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll bury the donkey and fill up the well at the same time. So they just all came and did that, and they just came shoveling and shoveling, and the noises coming out of the well was so terrible, so pitiful, it's horrible. And this poor old donkey with the dirt going into the thing. And then after a while, they'd been shoveling, the dirt stopped, so the farmer thinks, well, the thing's dead. He looks in to see that it's okay, and they just fill it on up. He could not believe his eyes when he looks into the well, because as he looked in, as the dirt was going in, the donkey was tramping on the dirt and tramping on the dirt. And as the dirt came in, it kept trumping. And as it was doing it, it was bringing up closer to the top. Well, they shoveled like mad to try and bury this thing. But he just kept going faster on the thing. And finally, it came up to the top and took off. It came right out. You know, the thing is, this morning, there's a lot of people want to shovel dirt on us. There's a lot of people that want to bury us. There's a lot of people that want to put us down. And life can sometimes seem like it's burying you. And people shoveling dirt on you. Have you ever thought that? Some people want to bury you. Some people want to get down on you. Some people want to give you a hard time. But I want to tell you something. There are no situations and there are no circumstances in your life that in this world in which we have a God is that we can't trample on the dirt and use the dirt to lift us up into the presence of God. The dirt can lift you out of your circumstances, because I want to tell you something this morning. Don't ask God to change your circumstances. He sent your circumstances to change you. The dirt in my life is not to bury me, because those things that Satan has designed for my destruction, in the hand of God, they work together for good. And so now, when people want to bury you, or people want to put you down, instead of complaining, instead of feeling bad, instead of murmuring about it, instead of seeing the devil in it, I tell you, tramp on the thing, because I'll tell you, when the devil's digging a hole for you, just think about what's happening to the dirt. Because the dirt that he digs out from the hole is the mountain that takes you into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Amen. I don't have to be subjected into the world that I live in. Because simply it's this. This is not the world that is mine. It's not my home. I live in it, but it's not my home. I don't have to be contaminated by the environment around me. But sometimes we live and see this negative world and it affects us. Jehoshaphat is an incredible passage of scripture for me. You could get a lot of sermons out of this passage, and I just want to do it with an exhortation or inspiration for you this morning. But in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1, it starts like this. It says, and it happened after this. And so many times in our lives, that's exactly what happens. It happens after this. It happened after what? In today's terms, that little part of the sentence is it never rains, but it pours. Something happens to you and something else comes on. And you think you get over that and there's another thing. It just seems to be there's one thing and another thing and another thing. And life's full of those kind of things. Jehoshaphat was for having a hard time. He had just come back from Ramoth Gilead. He was fighting the Syrians with old Ahab who tried to kill him. He got home. He's lying in a bath just licking his wounds. And then some friends come. And they said to him, it's getting worse. It's going to get worse. Now there's a coalition forces coming against you. Have you ever noticed that? A lot of times, it comes in threes. You just think you get over it, and there's another one, and then that's another one. And sometimes there's a coalition of forces against us, and we see a lot of things in our lives that's coming against us. And I live in the same real world that you live in, and I recognize those things that come to me, and how I deal with them, and how I face them, and how I can live positively in this negative world. This passage of Scripture is what inspires me. And one thing that I noticed about this morning is Jehoshaphat, oh, he did what every man of God does in a crisis. He feared. He says he feared. He just feared. Then he comes out and he stands before the Lord, a man who was the best battle strategist, one of the greatest kings of Judah, an incredible guy. And he stands out there in the face of the opposition, in the face of everything coming against him, and he says, I don't know what to do. A man who knew everything how to do it, and suddenly he says, I don't know what to do. Tell me this morning, have you ever been in a situation in your life when you don't know what to do? You really don't? Absolutely. Do you know this morning, if your problem is bigger than your belief system, then you've got a crisis. If your problem is equal to your belief system, you have a struggle. But if your belief system is bigger than your problem, you can live in rest and see God. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Seeing God in everything is heart purity. Do I see him this morning? Do I know that God is in this situation? Because I'll tell you, there's times that I have stood there, and I would have prided myself in thinking, I know what to do. I know how to do this. And then God just enlarges the situation to let me see that I don't know what to do. And I tell you, I stood sometimes before the Lord, and I just been like Jehoshaphat, and I said, I just don't know what to do. Oh man, that's scary, isn't it? When you just don't know what to do. Here's a problem that I'm confronting, and I don't know what to do. And you know, I'm delaying a little moment in this morning, because somehow I really sense in my heart that there's some here exactly there. You don't know what to do. You just don't know what to do. What am I going to do in this situation? But I'll tell you, your situation has only been expanded beyond your ability to see the impossible God work in your life. The impossible situation that God makes possible. Amen? That you know you don't know what to do, but you know what? It didn't say you just stood there and did nothing. It says, but our eyes are upon you. Amen. Living in this world that's negative, and it really has a lot of negative things. Do you know the last words that Jesus spoke, or almost the last words that he spoke? Do you know Jesus said this? And to me, last words that anybody speaks are important. And especially for Jesus. And you hang on to people's last words. They go down in the annals of history. And people stay with people's last words. Well, you know, just about the last words that Jesus spoke, he said this. He said, in the world, you'll have trouble. Man, there's some words from a last person. Huh? Not too inspiring. Was he right? No, he was right. My word. In the world, you'll have trouble. There is trouble in the world. There really is. He says, but in me, you have peace. You know, I travel a lot to Africa. And one of the little things that I heard there has really been something that really gets me here this morning for this. In one of the places there, there's a particular tribe. And where they live, the food is totally unpalatable. They can't even eat it themselves. And what they do is they grow a little bush there. And on this little bush, they have got a little sweet berry. And when they go to eat their unpalatable food, they go to the bush, they take the berry off the bush, put it in the side of their mouth, and then no matter how unpalatable the food is that they eat, it takes on the flavor of the berry and everything is sweet.
Amen.
Do you know we live in an unpalatable world? There's lots of things happens to us in the world that's unpalatable. Men, I find myself that I don't really handle inefficiency very well, or people that don't go that well with their job, or people that get it wrong, and I don't handle that well. And there's a lot of situations in my life that don't go so good. And I know this, but I'll tell you something. I want to challenge you and I want to ask you this morning, what berry do you have in your mouth? What berry do I have in my mouth? What berry do you carry into your day? In this unpalatable world in which we live, in this negative world in which we live, what is the berry that you have in your mouth? What's the berry you take into your day? What's the berry you take into your marriage? What's the berry you take to your workplace? What's the berry for your lifestyle? What berry do you have in your mouth? Can I share my berry with you? Would you like my berry? No? You would? You get one of your own. Here's my berry. Romans 11:36. This is my berry. Because God is in all, and through all, and to all, and because of Him, all things exist. Now, I'm not very smart because I'm Irish. Smart. Cheeky, violent people always signify the leadership. The temperature of a congregation is always gauged by the pastor. Is that where you got that from, Beck? Yeah. I like to turn it around to the leaders. Do you know this morning, this is what's wonderful about it, is even though I'm Irish and I'm not very smart, there's one thing I can spell, is all. A. L. L. Thank you, Karen. God is in all, He's through all, and to all, and because of Him, all things exist. Amen. That's the berry in my mouth. Lots of things happened to me. Do you know, just in the last couple of years, we lost our grandson. Probably one of the hardest things that I think I've ever faced in all of my life is that, you know, grandchildren are not supposed to die before their grandparents. Not before their... And you know, it's so hard. This little guy was so beautiful. I'm telling you, I know we got 12 others, but this little kitty was the oldest. When he was little, he was the first baby, and I would go to different parts of the world. I'd bring home a little t-shirt. Every place I went, he had a t-shirt. Then I would buy him a cap. When I went past the t-shirt part, I'd buy him a cap. And I'd buy him a cap. Everywhere I'd go, I'd do that for him. Of course, we started getting a lot more grandchildren, because my kids wouldn't seem to understand where they're coming from. And the fact is, we'd keep getting more and more, and it became more and more expensive. And I couldn't keep buying the things anymore. But do you know, when I sat in the little guy's room there, not before long, because his parents kept his room sometime, the same after he died. You know, I went down and sat in his room, and I was just sitting, trying to take in, you know, Tom's presence, and think about Tom, and before I would leave, and just think about the little guy. And you know, he had a big rack right in the corner there, still sitting there, of all his gear, and I mean, he had all his gear, but this rack and the caps were all still on this rack. He still kept them all, just in really good condition, had all those caps still there. But you know something? He was so connected with my wife. They were so close. She misses him so bad. It's one of the hardest things. You know, the thing is this, I appreciate what Nick's saying this morning, and I'm asking you people, if my name ever crosses your mind, would you pray for my wife? It isn't easy for me traveling 8 months of the year. You know that? And she really misses this little guy so much because they did everything together. They did so much together. And he would sleep and he would come up and spend the time when I'm away. He'd spend the time with her. He'd sleep in the bed. He used to write me emails and say, I'm sleeping on your side of the bed, Pop. Hey. And I said, listen, Tom. I'd write back and I'd say, listen, Tom, you're the only man allowed to sleep in my side of the bed. Hey. But he was such an incredible little guy. I mean, I came back in once. I was out and I came back home. I came in and my wife was sleeping in the lounge. And Tom was there. He had been there staying. And he's there and he goes to me, Bob, shh. Don't wake Grandma. He said, let me show you something. He took me to the bedroom. He had made the bed. He took me to the bathroom. He had cleaned the bathroom. He took me to the kitchen. He's done the kitchen all the time she was sleeping. And he said, I did it all for Grandma while she slept. Isn't that beautiful? You can imagine what happened to her. He made her Christmas cards. He didn't buy her Christmas cards. He made them. He didn't buy her birthday cards. He made birthday cards. Her and him were inseparable. And you know, we had believed that Tom would not die, that he had lived, that God would heal him. And the fact is, that kind of thing, he didn't, but he went off to be with Jesus. But you know the thing is, that kind of thing to me is totally unpalatable. And naturally and physically and in an earthly sense, I don't know how to handle it. I'm not able to work with it because it's painful and it's hard and it's difficult. And one of the most important things is we need to face life in reality and realize that that's what it's like, and we don't live in denial. And we just say, it's no good somebody coming up to me and just saying, oh, Tom's in heaven. When you're in grieving, it's no good to say something like that. We weep with those that weep. And the fact is, we enter into that. We don't live in denial, but we have something higher. And it's unpalatable for me that that should happen. And yet, you know, we had a funeral for Tom. I did the funeral 2 hours. People came to Christ at the funeral. It was the most incredible thing. I wish I had time to tell you about one of his therapists who finished up coming to Jesus in the most miraculous way because of Tom's life. Because of Tom's life. And I'll tell you this, God always turns it around. I need to see God. And when I was ministering there, I talked about different things. And it wasn't because the doctors didn't discover it soon enough. It wasn't because they didn't do a good job. It wasn't because the devil took him. It wasn't because that we didn't fight enough in faith for him. It wasn't to do with any of that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Tom was such a glorious, wonderful little guy. God wanted him to take him home. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you something about grief. Grief sits on you the first year. The second year it's beside you. And the third year, it's under you, but it never goes away. And if you're in grief this morning, there's something powerful about understanding that, because you need to rise up and not get stuck in the process. And where it can put you down, and the dirt's just shoveling in on you. Now, I tell you what, I had a vision. God gave me a vision, and I'd love to be able to share the vision with you of God giving me the vision of Tom after he had died. And I'll tell you, there's some incredible things that God did through that young guy's life. 12 years old, he went to be with Jesus. Now, those things are unpalatable. I have stood at an airport. I was in an airport in Austria. They had done the wrong thing with my passport, gave me the wrong visa. I was going into Ukraine. I was going to be preaching in a church there to 1,400 people Sunday morning, doing Bible school. I was all set up. They were all set up for the whole thing. And I couldn't go out and I couldn't come in because the visa was no good. I handed it over to get my boarding pass. And they looked at me and they said, sir, you're not going anywhere. I said, what are you saying? They said, you're not going anywhere. I said, yes, I am. They said, no, you're not. Well, there's no good me continuing that because they were going to win. And I'm running around, and you know what I did? I went down and got some change, and I put change into the machine and tried to ring the embassy. And when I got onto the Ukraine embassy, I'm standing on the phone, and the woman comes on. My Ukraine was as bad as her Irish. By the time we understood each other, the money had gone. I did that a number of times and got no more change. Then I finished up putting my credit card in. And then it said something that was not nice. It said insufficient funds. And I'm stuck. And then I go to the counter and I say, can you help me please? And he said, it's not our fault. I said, I'm not blaming you. Just help Ray. Nobody wanted it. They said, you're stuck. You've got to stay here. That's it. Do you know something? At that moment, I had to have my berry. Because if I hadn't had my berry, I'd have been so mad and so angry. Do you know, when things go wrong, people so often blame the devil. And they say the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that and the devil's doing something else. I have no time space for the devil. Because if God is in all and through all and to all, that's not a lot of places for the devil to operate. That's why I like all. And the devil has no place in this. And as far as I am concerned this morning, the devil is no more than God's sheepdog to drive me to Jesus. The fact that I've driven into him and that I see him. You know, God is so positive that he moves along every negative line and brings it out for his glory. Do you know one of the things that I really love? There's a tremendous story. You know the story of Moses? Man, it's a long story, but we're only going to say a little bit of this story. But you know the story of Moses? Old Pharaoh says they've got to die, these two kids under two, because God's deliverer is coming. Kill the kids. Moses' mother won't have that. She puts him in a little basket, puts him in the bulrushes, hides him away so Pharaoh can't get him. And Miriam, his sister, she stands a little bit away to watch what's going to happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter comes down. She's bathing in the river. The little whimper comes. She hears it. She looks at the baby, finds it amongst the bulrushes, and her heart goes out to it. She gets the baby. And then, like any single woman that's never had a baby, she's hanging in her arms and doesn't know what to do with it. She stands looking at this baby, and then she says, what do I do with this now? She looks up. And Moses' sister's watching the proceedings. She sees her. She says, oh, come here, young woman. Come over here. Come over here. I have a baby. And I didn't know what to do with it. Is there any chance that you would know somebody could look after it? Oh, man, could you imagine Miriam at that moment? She must have been jumping out of her skin. She's keeping the excitement down. I think so. And she takes Moses from Pharaoh's daughter home to his own mother. And old Pharaoh, who decreed that he should die, now finishes up paying for his upkeep. She keeps him for 8 years when he was weaned, and then he goes down into Egypt, and Pharaoh pays for the best education. Prepares him for the time when God will take him and use him to be the deliverer. And here we are, right under old Pharaoh's nose is God's deliverer. Hallelujah. Pharaoh became his grandfather. Hallelujah. God moves in every negative way. And he takes it because he's so positive, and no matter what negative things are going on in your life, God takes it and moves it for his glory. You can't have a positive if you don't have a negative. I had a photo, mind you, with some of you have heard about my upbringing. I'm going to tell a little bit about it tonight. But I had only one or two little photos of me when I was a little kid. I don't think they wanted to photograph me. But I had only a little photo that my mum gives me, and it's got little dog ears. And I had it, and I thought, yeah, and I would like a little bit of a photo of myself, you know, and bring it home. So I did. I brought it home to the kids, to my kids. And I went down to the fire. I went down to chemist shop or where to do the pharmacy side there and then the photographic side. So I took it into the photographic side of the chemist shop there and I gave the photo over. I said, can you give me another photo, please? I want a 5x6 and big one of me. And the guy said, oh, no problem. He said, we can do that. He said, give me your negative. I said, I don't have it. He said, I want your negative. I said, I don't have a negative. I need your negative, sir. I said, I don't have a negative. I said, I thought these days of technology that you didn't need a negative. You could just take a photo and get it off it. There'd be no problem. He said, sir, that is true. We can give you a positive, no problem. But I want to tell you two things, and they weren't good for me. Because one of them is, he says to me, we can do it, but it's going to cost you a whole lot more. You know I'm Irish. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you more. And then he says, but here's the thing. We will not guarantee that we can get the color right or any part of that right. And you probably will not get a very good print. Because you can't take a very good print and get a positive from this positive. But if you had your negative, I could give you a perfect positive. Do you see this morning the need? I came away from there thinking, amen. See, every difficulty, even the problem with my photograph, was teaching me the things of God. God is in every part of nature, and you see him in every illustration. And I walked away from there realizing that I need my negatives. So let me say something to you this morning. Embrace your negatives. Don't try to give them away. Don't whinge about them. Don't murmur about them. Don't complain about them. Embrace them. Because you're not going to have a proper positive unless you embrace your negatives. Do you see that? Pull them in. Because here's the thing. The greatest ministry in your life is going to be birthed out of your negatives. Out of great healing comes great ministry. People say to me, oh, brother, life is how you make it. Life is how you make it. I get news for you this morning. Life is not how you make it. If life was how I made it, I would make it very, very differently in a whole lot of cases. I mentioned in the earlier service, I'd sack a lot of the airline industry. I hope there's nobody working for the airlines here and I belly up tomorrow for a ticket. I don't like inefficiency. I don't. I've been at some airline counters when I've had some real encounters with the most difficult things, and we go on with all kinds of things. And I'm telling you something this morning, one of the things that's just been a good, not too good for me, is sometimes I've had to be under the counter looking for my berry. Because it fell out of my mouth. And it was under the counter. I have to say to the lady, can you wait a minute? I'll be up in a minute, and I've got to get my berry. To be sure. I'm after me berry. It's got to be somewhere down there. I've lost me berry a number of times. Do you know there's nothing worse than when you lose your berry? Because when you lose your berry that God is doing, that God's in it, that God's working in it, all things work together for good. All things work together for good as God interprets good. Not the way I think it's good. As he interprets it, good, he's working it together. I need to remember that. And then the problem is, I lose it. And here's the thing. If you lose your berry, you're in trouble. Because when something goes wrong and you react to it, and you lose your berry, you push yourself away from God's providence in it, and you start seeing the devil and everybody else at fault, and then Murphy takes over. Have you ever noticed that? Man, Murphy takes over. You move away from God and the revelation of seeing God, and then Murphy takes over. And I'll tell you, if anything that can go wrong, then goes wrong. Have you not noticed that? You have reacted. You have not seen God in it. There is no thankfulness. And then from then on, it's just a whole lot more things go wrong. I watched one guy at an airport, and man, I tell you, he was right. I would have been just, he was mad. He was losing it big time. And I stood there and I watched him because they were doing the same to me. And I watched him and I stood there and I said, sir, I'm not washing down my berry. I said, sir, if I didn't have a berry in my mouth right now, you and me would kill him. But the reason that I am rejoicing and that I'm happy and I'm relaxed and I don't have anxiety, oh, it's so good walking through airports at peace. Man, a berry makes an incredible difference to me to travel with. You know that? It really does, because I walk through the airport and whenever I can surrender and say, amen, Father, I can't see it. I don't know why. Because you know that day at the airport? Do you know that time at the airport in Austria? I was going to Ukraine to preach to 1,400 people. And do a Bible school. And I was stuck in Austria and I couldn't see a thing. But when I couldn't get through, I just surrendered and I said, amen. I had the berry and I said, amen. I don't know what you're doing, Father. I don't know why I'm here. But you do. And I surrendered. Man, that takes away your anxiety levels, doesn't it? You don't stir it up. You're just at peace. You know something? I finished up finding a couple that weekend whose marriage and lives were completely disintegrating. And I had the most incredible weekend with them. She was a university lecturer. I finished up with them that weekend. And do you know, God had designed not for me to speak to 1,400 people, but to talk to two people. Jesus ministered and went places just for one person. And he designed in his great plan for me not to have a visa so I could work with this couple. And in the end, that lady got all my stuff done, went to the embassy, got all my stuff sorted out, got my visa, did everything at the end of the time, and I ministered to them the whole weekend. See, God is in all and through all and to all. Could you set that thing up? I have a look at that pair of seats. Thank you, Jesus. The clock stopped. Hallelujah. It's okay. I got to finish. I'm going to tell you a story, and I need to finish. You need to get out of here. There's a barbecue coming up. But do you know this story is something that was really powerful for my life? And I just want to tell you this and wrap this up this morning, because there's so much more that I can share. That's one of the reasons I open my notes, but I don't go there, because we'll be here all day. But you know, the thing that's important is I just wanted God to bring to my mind whatever it is that he wants to say to you this morning. But do you know this? I was in America, and I was doing a preaching itinerary. And my wife was meeting me in Anaheim. Oh, she was going to meet me in LA airport, and then we were going to drive out to Anaheim. And we were able to go there, hear this, get jealous, because we were going to stay in the Central Hotel overlooking Disneyland for $1 a night. Like that? I did too. That's my Irish coming too, and it sounds to me like there's a few Scots people here. Now, the fact is this, we're there, and it's beautiful, you know, and we're going to have 3 days just doing stuff in Disneyland, and it was so good. And then I was going to go on down to San Diego and preach down there. And then the third day, it rained all week, terrible, it was a terrible weekend. But we really enjoyed ourselves, I mean, we really did, but it was a bad weekend weather-wise, it was cold, freezing, wet it was. Anyhow, on the 3 nights we were there, I was going to be picked up, and the guy was coming to pick us up and take us down to San Diego. So we got out. We had to get out of the hotel anyway, because he was coming at 6 o'clock. We had to get out because it's $1 a night, and I could not afford to stay another night. If you stay for $1, you're sure not going to pay $100. And I couldn't stay, and I couldn't afford to stay anyway in the hotel. And the fact is, we packed up. We got all our gear. We came down and sat in the foyer. And in sitting in the foyer, everything that moved outside kept opening those sliding doors. Freezing wind coming in. Right down the side, if any of you have been there, you'll see right down the side of the Central Hotel. Right down there, there's a big cafe restaurant thing down there. We would frequent that quite a bit over the 3 days. And then now this night, we're going in there, and we'd have a coffee and come out. And have a coffee and come out. 6 o'clock comes, he's supposed to pick us up. Doesn't come. 7, doesn't come. 8, doesn't come. I was doing pretty well for a while. But somewhere along the line, when something passed the door, my berry fell out and rolled down the street. But I lost me berry. And I'm walking backwards and forwards. I'm up and I'm going backwards and forwards. I think, how inconsiderate can people be? They're supposed to be taking me down. I'm going to be preaching a message on abiding. How inconsiderate can be? And then I started, you know, it was only Christian swearing, really. And I'm going, and then I looked down and saw my wife just sitting there going, glaring at me, you know. Oh, I thought, I got to salvage this. She hates cold, absolutely hates the cold. And so I looked at her, saw the face on her, she's watching this man of God. And I said, honey, I'm only saying those things for your sake. And just doing it for your sake. I don't know if it impressed her or not. She just sat with her mouth shut. Lot wiser for a woman when they keep their mouth closed. You don't have anything on your hand now. So. I was saying something at the staff conference about a woman, and I got attacked by this woman. So, at least one thing. Her husband's getting a lot of prayer from me. Now, The thing that's important is this. I get mad, and I won't go on with the whole thing about the time that I did it, but I walked backwards and forwards, I was getting mad. You know, every hour or less, or every half hour, because it was so cold, we go into this thing, have another cup of coffee and out. It's a quarter to midnight, and we're still there. I went in, I sat at the table. I was not happy. And I sat down at the table, and the woman comes up to the table. She was a little Jewish lady. Her name was Dorothea. She comes up with her little book to write down what I want. Man, I just wanted to get the book and jam it down her throat. I thought, why would you come to me after I've had 20 coffees already with a book like I'm going to have a 3-course dinner at midnight? I'm only having coffees. That's all I've had all night. Surely you don't need to write down coffee again. You see where I was going? You see how I needed my berry right now? Because you people would never do this because you're more spiritual than me. But I'm mad. And then she stands there and she looks at me. Then she looks at me. And she says to me, anyhow, she says, what do you do? I thought, oh, God, no. Oh, no. I talked real fast and tried to spin the conversation around, but she wasn't taking that. She says, I want to know what you do for a living. Oh, my goodness. This is not the time. And she kept pressing me. And I says to her, I'm a preacher. And she threw back her head and she laughed and laughed and laughed. She says you look nothing like a preacher. So then I got mad. On top of being mad. And I went like this. I said, is that better? I said, does that look like a preacher? And then she just spun around on her heel and left. She comes back. She stands right up and looks at me. And she says, if you are a preacher, she said, give me a word from God. I thought, I'll give you a word, but it won't be from God. I had a lot of words, but it wasn't God's words. And she saw my face and she just took off. And she just left. And when she left, the Holy Spirit hit me. I mean, I mentioned this morning, God had spoken through an ass before. I guess he could do it with this one. And you know, a little thing, I'd heard it somewhere sung or something many years before, maybe 20 years before. And suddenly, I says to my wife, honey, have you got a pen? Have you got a pen? And I grabbed a serviette. She gave me a pen out of her handbag. And I started to write. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. He didn't teach me to swim to let me drown. He didn't build his home in me to move away. He didn't lift me up to let me down. The Holy Spirit, I could feel the anointing. I'd feel God. I don't know where I found the berry, but I got it. It was in my mouth now. I'm starting to see God. The inspiration's there. I feel like Samson with his hair growing back again. I could have taken the gates off the city now. I was so excited. Then the Lord gave me a verse of scripture, and I wrote the verse of scripture in the serviette. She comes back with her coffee, and when she comes back, she said, well, I said, Dorothea, God gave me a word. You wanted a word? God gave me a word. She took, I handed it to her. She's standing beside the booth, and she says, excuse me, he didn't bring me this far to leave me. He didn't teach me to swim to let me drown. He didn't build his home. And that's about as far as she got. And she broke down and she wept and wept. Then she went in behind her little apron and she pulled out a little piece of paper. And she pulled it out. And she had exactly the same verse of scripture on the paper that I had on the serviette. In that God? Do you know that she told me, she said, I started my shift today and I finished at midnight, which is now 5 minutes away. And she said, I got down before God, and I think it's one of her daughters or something had cancer. Somebody had cancer bad, and then she starts telling me about her financial plight. She tells me about the problems, and oh, it was so terrible. She says, I got up today, I can't take it anymore. And as a little Jewish woman, she said, I got down, and I got down before God, and I said, if there is a God in Israel, if you don't answer me, before my shift finishes at midnight tonight, I'm checking out of life. I'm through, I'm finished, and I'm over. That's it. And I'm talking to her at that moment at 2 minutes to midnight. Someone has said, God is never late, but he's used a lot of glorious opportunities of being early. That was one of them. You know something, I need to finish, but you know something? I'll tell you this. The manageress comes down. I see her coming. I said, Dorothea, the manageress is coming. She said, I don't care. She said, God's coming. I don't care. She's coming. Don't worry about it. Don't sit down. Because my wife and I are up either side of her now in this restaurant and all the people there and we're praying and everything. You mean I'm paralyzed now? And the manageress came down and put her arms around all of us. And this is what she said. You don't know what people see and you do know what people know. But she says this. She says, I am not a Christian, but I know God's doing something wonderful here. That is amazing. And then she said, you know, she said, I have been watching you and your wife coming in these last 3 days. And she said, you have been a ray of sunshine. I said, that's it. That's it. My name is Ray. I'm a ray of sunshine. I am. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this morning. This is the most significant thing to me. Get a berry in your mouth. Because your berry is that Jesus is in everything. Jesus is working in everything. Everything's working towards Him. And I want you to know this morning as we come to the end of this meeting, there's two incredible things. Number one, it doesn't matter where you're at this morning, what your attitude may be, how you think you've failed or blown or made a mistake and didn't get it right. Maybe you feel that you're down this morning. I want to tell you this morning, that taught me an incredible lesson. My attitude didn't disqualify Him from coming. My negativity didn't disqualify Him from coming. Nothing disqualifies the Son of God from coming into our lives this morning. He comes no matter where. He comes no matter what. And He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. He didn't build His home in you to move away. He didn't lift you up to let you down. God knows your address. He knows where you live. He knows the pain in your heart. He knows the troublesome times and the difficulties. And I want to tell you something this morning. He's here in this meeting. He's here in this place. He's here to visit with us today. He comes to us. Hallelujah. Do you know, we never did. There's a real spin-off. There's a little spin-off from that whole thing about how we finished up and where we stayed. And I know the thinkers in this meeting would like to know the end of the story. Well, we don't have time. We got home because I'm here. The fact is this, may I say to you this morning, God comes to you, whatever your state, whatever your condition, wherever you're at this morning. You may be burdened down, you may feel life shoveling dirt on you. Things is being bad for you. There's situations against you. You need to get that berry in your mouth. You need a conviction that Jesus is in this. Jesus is working in everything. He really is. And He knows all about it. And He's waiting for the opportunity to just reach in. Maybe you think it's not coming to you. Maybe you think He doesn't care about you. I want to tell you that little story because it's a real story. And because God does care. He really cares. He cares about you and knows everything about you. He knows your heart right now sitting in this meeting. He knows all about you. And one more time, permit me to say this. I really feel strongly about saying this to you this morning, wherever you are. He did not bring you this far to leave you. Where are you at this morning? What are you thinking? What kind of things do you feel separating you from Him? He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. He didn't build His home in you to move away. He didn't lift you up to let you down. He's here to meet with you this morning. I'm inviting Pastor Nick to come back right now, that maybe God wants to do that for you this morning. And I ask you, brother, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much this morning.
I wonder if those folks could hand out the communion. Just, we're going to finish.